Masechet Menachot Perek Yod Mishnah Dalid. We're talking about the Korban HaOmer. We discussed how it was harvested. Now we'll talk about what the next stages were in offering the Korban. Mishnah says, Ketzaruhu untanuhu bekupot. They would harvest the barley and then put it in baskets. Heviuhu la'azara. Hayu mehav havin oto ba'ur. They then brought it to the courtyard of the Bet HaMikdash and they toasted the barley over the flour with the kernels of barley still attached to the stalk. They didn't detach them. Kedei lekayembo mitzvat kali, in order to fulfill the mitzvah that the kernels would be toasted, even though when they would normally process grain, they would separate the kernels from the stalks. In this situation, the grains were toasted beforehand because if they removed the kernels from the stalks, they wouldn't be able to toast the kernels directly over the fire. What they would do here is the person holding the stalks over the fire, he would hold it from the stalk, and therefore the kernel would become toasted. This is Divrei Rabbi Meir, the opinion of Rabbi Meir. According to him, the toasting had to have been done directly over the fire. You couldn't put the kernels into a keli in order to have them toasted. So therefore, it had to be done in this way. Say Hachamim, before the toasting, they would beat the kernels and the stalks with a soft reed and a cabbage stem in order to separate the kernels from the stalks. And they would use these soft reeds and cabbage stems as opposed to hard sticks that they would normally use so that the barley wouldn't get crushed from the separation. They would then put the kernels into a type of copper pipe that was designed for toasting grain. Ve'avuv haya minukav, and the pipe had holes in it. Kedei she'yehe ha'ur sholet bekulo, so that the heat of the fire would penetrate it entirely. According to the opinion of Hachamim, the idea of kalui, that it has to be toasted, doesn't have to be done without a keli, but a keli could be involved, and therefore they allowed him to separate the barley from the stalks. After the toasting, they would spread out the barley in the courtyard, and the wind would dry out the kernels from any moisture that got involved in it while it was getting toasted. Afterwards, they would put it, the kernels of barley, into a mill that was made for beans, and it would grind it in a very thick way so that the outer covering of the grain kernel called bran, that it would not get mixed in. If it was ground very finely, then that shell, the bran, would get also ground up and it would become part of it. So the fact that it was ground up here in a bean mill, that everything isn't ground up too well, and the bran is now not going to pass through the sieve and is going to be removed when the flour is sifted. Afterwards, they would take the amount of barley flour that was needed for the omer, and they would leave over the leftover flour. From the grain, they would take an isaron, a fine flour, and it was sifted from 13 sieves, and it was used for the korban ha'omer. The rest of the flour was redeemed from hekdesh, and anybody had the ability to eat it. The holy status, the sanctified status, was removed from it. The hayav b'hala, and whatever was left over is also now obligated by hala, even though hekdesh isn't subject to the laws of hala. The grain here is subject to hala because it was redeemed before it was turned into dough. Upatur min ha-ma'asrot, it's exempt from ma'asrot because the obligation of ma'asrot only takes effect when the piled grain has been smoothed, and when this grain was smoothed at the time that was happening, was still owned by the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, it's exempt from Terumot Ma'asrot. Rabbi Akiva mechayev b'hala uba ma'asrot. Rabbi Akiva says that no, it is subject to both hala and ma'asrot. He disagrees with the opinion of Tanakama. According to the view of Rabbi Akiva, when the person of the Beit HaMikdash treasurer purchased the 3 se'ah of barley to be turned into an isaron of flour for the omer, he was only paying for that isaron. So therefore, the rest of the flour, whatever was going to be left over afterwards, never really essentially belonged to Hekdesh, and therefore the laws of Ma'asrot would apply to it. Ba'lo la'isaron, on the 16th of Nisan, the person preparing the omer would come to the isaron of flour that was going to be offered, V'natan shamno ulvanoto. And he would put oil and levona into an empty kli sharet and then add the flour into there. Yasak ubalal. He would pour more oil onto the flour and then mix the flour and the oil like was done with other menachot. Henif v'higish. The kohen would then wave the mixture and bring it near the mizbeach. V'kamatz v'hikti. Then he would perform kemitzah on the flour and oil and burn the kometz and levona on the mizbeach. V'ashead ne'echal ha'kohanim. And the remainder of the omen was eaten by the kohanim in the courtyard of the Bet HaMikdash.